city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more. Walking were after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers. We read Jeremiah 3, 12 to 18. Now let's take a look in the New Testament, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 Timothy, we'll say, chapter number 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, says these words: "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." We read 1 Timothy chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 6. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. And I'd like to speak briefly this morning on the subject of the inestimable value of a good minister. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we bless you and praise you. We thank you today, Father, for the service and all the proceedings that have gone on throughout this month as we have taken time to offer honor. You say give honor to those who deserve it. And so we have done that this month, Lord. We have tried to set forth to honor the man of God that you set among us to be the leader of this flock and his wife, God, who sits there with him. Lord, that she can minister to his needs and make him a whole person that he might be able to minister to this flock. And Father, we all corporately thank you for the generosity. save those that believe. Now you would think maybe God might call on some angels to come down and minister to people to help them be saved. Or he might call in a coalition of profound speakers or wise people or something of that sort. The Bible says that God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. On the contrary, he picks regular, everyday people, like the 12 who he chose were a group of fishermen, farmers, various people of that sort. He doesn't pick the high and the mighty. He picks average, everyday, regular old folks. And why does he do it? He says to confound the wise. All the people with power and authority in the world lord it over everyone else. They use their power to get themselves ahead and to elevate themselves. They use force, violence, and the threat of all types of things to regulate the affairs of people. And there's a little mild slavery going on, if you will, if you really examine the whole work system and the way things are laid out in the world. You see? But the fact is, God doesn't select the high and the mighty. He doesn't get the great orator or the great philosopher or any of those type of things. He picks common, down-to-earth, everyday people, and he says it is to confound the wise. He picks the things that are weak to confound the things that are mighty. God works in the small things in life, in average, everyday things, not necessarily the things that somebody might think that he would. Remember, when God chose someone to sanctify for his own possession, he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. We read that in Genesis 12. Common everyday old Abraham. People say, now you know what, Abraham happens to be one of the most famous names in the world at this time. Many people harp on the name of Abraham, if you will, for many reasons. Some of them are not even anywhere near on track to the truth. But God called Abraham and set him apart to do a great work for all of us. And it's true, common everyday people. We can look down the Bible and give us a list of folks like Moses, a sheep herder. He was attending to Jethro's sheep on the backside of the desert. You see, and he was called to go back and confront the Pharaoh to tell him to let the people of God go that were incubating in his land down there in the land of Goshen. And we can go on through. We find people like Jonah. We can just list all kinds of common people that were used. Amos, he was among the herders of the sheep herders of Tekoa. You see, people of that sort, as we look through the Bible, that we would call the prophets. Now, they're famous to us here in the church. These people are famous to those who love God. But the world thinks very little of the prophets. They think very little of Moses. They think very little of preachers anywhere that you name. They're always looking to find fault with them. You know, they'll find fault with a preacher in a heartbeat. When they find that, they put it up on the billboards and blast it on the TV. But the preacher has a very, very terribly important value to the church. It is by the ministers of the church that the word is fed to the people of God. People are saved by the speaking of the word by the minister of God.
Amen.
You see? So it's a very, very powerful thing. Now, so we ask, what is the value of a good minister? I'm going to look first here at the Old Testament passage just to give you some things to think about. Israel, the people of God, by this time in the book of Jeremiah, have been developed into a great nation. And here they are now, nearly ready to be taken into exile because of disobedience. They would not listen to the voice of the prophets, those who had spoken to them. God says he rose up early, sending them, and they would not hear what the prophet said. Now, this was not all the people. There's always a group of people that the Bible refers to as the remnant who believe, and they walk with God no matter what happens. Hopefully, you who are here today are a part of that remnant. The church is much like that today. We've got the church splintered and tore all up in pieces and all kinds of different fragmentation in the church. A lot of the very serious people have got a long way away from the central focus of the Bible, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. But the church is so much involved with so many material things today in the world that it has forgotten about the cross in many cases. And the cross is the central message of the gospel of God, the message God has to the word by which men might be saved, to the world, I'm trying to say, that the world might be saved. He sent his son on a mission of salvation, and he told the church, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations, told by God in chapter 3, verse 12, go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel. See, Israel had backslidden away from God, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall from you. God is angry with sinners every day, the Bible says. He's grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we sin. And so God only has a certain tolerance for sin. But he always sends a prophet to give forth a warning. He says, stop that. Turn from your wicked ways. Come back to me. Return to me, and I will cause my anger not to fall upon you. So God offers mercy. He says, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity. That's the same doctrine as 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We go around acting like we have no sin. John says, you lie, and the truth is not in you. See, you can sit there and say, oh, I have no sin. You just lie. The truth is not in you. That's what the word says. You know, but those who acknowledge their iniquity, God is quick to mercy, and he will offer forgiveness. You see that? He offers forgiveness. If you acknowledge your iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Now what that involves is Israel becoming entangled in the sins of the Gentiles by worshiping paganism and false idols and those type of things, which are not really God at all. Now I'm going to let, it's probably not a secret to anybody, but we live in a culture that wants to embrace everything that calls itself religion. Have you noticed that? The only thing that's outlawed is the true religion. Oh, I've been here talking about Jesus or praying in the name of Jesus. I got a problem with that. But if you want to name anything else, you can pray to God, you can do all of that. Anything that calls itself God. And then they have the nerve to think that this is virtuous, that we accept and embrace all these different things. It's going to get to be where it's against the law for you to mention and proclaim that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. See, these are the times we're coming up on. Most of us, I think, might be shocked when we find out that if you preach in the name of Jesus, you're going to be in trouble at some point. You see, and it has been like that before. It hasn't been like that much in American culture, you see, in our time, because the nation started off walking with God. But now we are starting to do things like legalize immorality. You see, we have legalized immorality going on all over the nation. It's on the rise. Well, and the people who practice these things are going to force that law upon the church at some point when it becomes more pervasive than it is now. So these are days yet ahead. So what you're hearing now, I don't necessarily profess to be prophesying of myself, but God says in the Word that the world will become more and more corrupt. The evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, Paul told Timothy. And that's why it's very, very crucial that you stand up and preach the word. He said, preach the word. No matter what they do, you preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, desiring to have their ears tickled. We live in an ear-tickling culture. They want their ears tickled. They do not want to hear the truth. The truth is, there is no God but one. And that is the one who is the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no salvation without the cross. You know, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. They're going to be saying, oh, Lord. Or they're all religious, coming in their phony garb. And, oh, Lord, I know you're the Lord now. Well, it's too late now. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, when we cast out demons in your name, then we prophesy in your name. Oh, did we do many wonderful works in your name? You did it in my name, but you say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You were called on something, Lord, but it was not me. You didn't acknowledge the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my son, God says. And you know what Jesus said? Just think about that, Matthew 7. He said, many will come to me. They're not going to be coming to the Father. Judgment will be the judgment seat of Christ. So the very one who you denied and did not want to announce that he is the only God, the only Savior, the only one who died on the cross, rose from the dead, that's the one you got to go see. Because you have no audience with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we start to tangle ourselves up with demonic He made Eve so that marriage would be a man and a woman so that the grace could be propagated. Notice this, and this is something I want to share with you. There are a lot of times when there's a word like person, individual, and you look at the Hebrew and you find out what word is that. You know what word it is? Adam. All of us are a regeneration of Adam. Every one. That's why I get amazed when I hear people talk, oh, in my genetics, in my family, we have this, that, and the other. Your family is the same as mine.
Evangelism. They need to be told the truth.
ministry of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You see that? So the minister's job is to remind you what God said. The word is Genesis to Revelation. I always like to say from end to amen. That's all of what God said. We have it in a nice compact volume, and the Holy Spirit comes in intermittently into the life of the preacher to set the church straight. So it's a wonderful thing. It is definitely inestimable, the value of a good minister. You need a good minister, somebody locked in on the truth that will not waver or deviate from what God has said, to keep you on target. It's going to be more and more difficult as the days go on. Watch and see. Right now we have how many states that have ratified same-sex marriage, for example? And it's closing in. Next thing you know, it'll be the law of the country. The country will be heading down the sewer, and the church will be in violation of the law if we stand up and tell people what thus saith the Lord. The value of a good ministry escalates and will become more costly as time goes on. So you ought to thank God for having a good pastor.
Amen.
And a church that stands on the word of God. All these other trendy things, they're going to become more and more ridiculous when things start to tighten up, and the gospel is going to become more and more precious as time goes on. And so I want to close by inviting you, if you are here today and you have not been saved, this is a good day to be saved. If you're here today and you are not actively working in the church, you know what's wrong with the church? When you come to the church, you come in as a servant.
Come on now.
That might be shocking to some of us here today. We come as a servant. We don't come in as some exalted thing. We ought to be trying to serve one another and minister to one another. And if we weren't looking for some title or something like that or some recognition, you see, we would work a lot better. If you realize you're a servant, God calls you to serve. You have service to do. Deacon, the word deacon means servant. You know, pastor is a shepherd. He feeds the people the word of God. The good minister feeds the people the word of God. You know what you need? The word of God. And if you receive the word of God, actually will bless you. The power is in the word. It's not in anything else but the word. See, the word of God is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, God helps you separate through that inner part of us that's like him, that's made in his image, that gets mingled in with that Adam that's in there. Adam's still in there because we're still a physical body and flesh. His thoughts pop in there, but you have to have the word of God in there superimposed. And you have to yield to what the Lord says. Paul says, Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk by the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What that means, the lust of the flesh is in there, saying, do it. You know you like it. And God said, don't do it. Walk by faith and not by sight. See, he teaches you discipline. And so the minister does that. But we encourage you, we're here to encourage you, let you know you can do everything God said. You know what? I was thinking about this. The new person, if you've been born again, is in there. He's in there. God put the Spirit there. He gives the Spirit to everyone who believes. But you know what? If you don't cater to the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is grieved. And you know what? You can't grieve somebody unless, you know what? If you had somebody you didn't really care about and they did something wrong, you might even rejoice. You might say, good, I'm glad that happened to me. That wouldn't be right, but you might do it. You know we do. Don't know. So I got to be on. But you know what? When you love somebody and they do something that hurts you, it hurts. Your heart is hurt. You grieve. You hate to see that person you love do that thing. And you just break you on the inside. So when God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit loves you. He loves you just like you are. And you know why he can do that? Because Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for your sin to make you clean. That's the only way you can be clean. Can't do it yourself. We can't sprinkle holy water on you to make you clean. That's not going to do it. two wretches to be thrown in the other way. Now we're past the time when the food is cooking. I understand that. And so you don't want to prolong the time. But if you're here today and you are not a part of the church and you'd like to be, maybe you're already saved. Maybe you're like some of those people that Jeremiah preached to, that slid away from the truth some kind of way. You want to come home. Come on in right now. We'd like to make that offer for you to come right now. The Bible says come just as you are. If you need a church home, come right now. If you know you have not been baptized, the Bible says repent and believe the gospel and you shall be saved. Be baptized in his name. Be baptized into the body of Christ and invite you to come right now. Don't be ashamed of all him. He says if you're ashamed of all me, I'll be ashamed of all you in the day of judgment. I hear that and I go, well, I need Jesus to say, I know that fool right there. You know, he might look crazy, Lord, but I know him. He wasn't ashamed of me.